Hi, my name's Ian Spencer. My call sign's Delta Juliet Zero Hotel Fox, and this is a walk around of the front panel and rear panel of the ICOM IC9100. Although this is a walk around of the controls and the connectors, it doesn't guarantee that this transceiver is accessible for the blind. Okay, the radio has a typical shack radio shape, being wider than it is high. And there are a number of controls, knobs and buttons to the left-hand side of the front panel. And going just to the right of that, you'll find the large display area, which also has a number of buttons below it and also control knobs. And then to the right of that is, at the bottom, the big VFO tuning knob. Above that, a lot of buttons. And to the right of that, a vertical row of knobs and buttons. And we're going to start by going to the top left-hand corner of the front panel, and if you come down at a 45 degree angle to the right, the first button you come to is the power button, and you just push it to turn the transceiver on, but you have to hold it for 1 second to turn the power off. Directly below that is the transmit push button, so you can switch between transmit and receive. Below that is the antenna tuner switch for frequency bands of HF to 50 megahertz. You push to turn on the internal tuner or off for bypass. And you hold this button down for 1 second to start a manual tune. Coming further down vertically, we come to some sockets. The first one is for headphones. The socket below that is for the electronic gear. And right at the bottom is a slightly larger socket with a number of pins. This is the microphone connector. Now, if we go back up to the transmit button, which was the second one from the top, and move across to the right, we'll come to rotary control. Actually, this is a double control with an outer ring and an inner ring. The outer ring adjusts the frequency of the notch filter, and the inner knob adjusts the level of noise reduction. Going vertically down from this control, there are two buttons, one just slightly to the left, one slightly to the right. The one to the left turns on and off the noise reduction, the one to the right, the notch filter. And coming down from that, we get another double rotary control. The outer ring is for the RF gain or squelch, and the inner knob is for AF gain of the main receiver. And if we go down from that, we come to another double control, which adjusts the RF gain or squelch and the AF gain of the sub-receiver. Now, if you move back up to that middle rotary control and go to the right, we will come to the LCD display. And just below the LCD display, there's a horizontal row of five buttons. These are function buttons, F1 to F5, which select things being shown on the display. Below this row is another horizontal row of buttons. There are six buttons. The left-hand one is menu, which controls what's shown on the display. The next one to the right is SSB, and then CW and RTTY, then AM/FM, and then DV, digital D-star mode, and the very right-hand one is filter, which can be used to select one of three IF filters. Now, if we go back to the left, to that menu button, and then go down, you'll find that there's a long row, a horizontal row, of knobs and buttons. And the left-hand knob is the mic gain. The one to the right of that is RF power control. To the right of that is CW pitch control. And to the right of that is the keyer speed. These are all rotary knobs, and to the right of that there is a horizontal row of five push buttons. The left hand button of these is preamp, the one to the right of that is noise blanker, the one to the right of that is vox break-in, the one to the right of that turns the monitor on and off, and to the right of that there's the call GPS button. Moving further across to the right, we come to the large tuning knob. If you go to the left-hand side of that tuning knob and go vertically, you'll find a vertical row of buttons. The very top one is Satellite. The one below that switches between the main and sub receiver. One below that selects to display the sub receiver on the LCD display. The one below that is a split. Below that is the A stroke B VFO select button. And below that is the XFS transmit frequency check switch. Now, if you go back up that vertical row to the top, which was the satellite button, to the right of that, there is a whole block of buttons, which are the band buttons. The first one you come to as you move to the right from the satellite button is 1.8 MHz. To the right of that, 3.5 and then 7. And below the 1.8 is 10. And then to the right of that, 14 and then 18. And below the 10 is 21. To the right of that, 24. And to the right of that, 28. Below that is General. And to the right of that is the 50 MHz button. And finally, on the right, is then the function Enter button. And if you go back to the left to that General button and then go down, you'll come to the VFO Memory Select button. To the right of that, Memory Write. And to the right of that, Memory Clear. And if you go back to the left to that VFO Memory Select button and go down, you find the Memo Pad Write, and to the right of that, the Memo Pad Read button. And just to the right of that and slightly down, you will come to the Tuning Step Repeater Group switch. Now, if you come back down to that main tuning knob, go right to the bottom of the knob and then move to the right, you'll come to a button called the Speech button, which you can push to audibly announce the S-meter level, the displayed frequency and the operating mode. To the right of the Speech button, there's a vertical row of controls and buttons. And if you go to the very top control, which is a control, and it's Twin PBT, which allows you to adjust the lower and upper frequencies of the passband tuning. And just below that, there are two switches. The left-hand one is PBT Clear, and the right-hand one is Sub Dial, and you push it to turn the sub dial function on or off. And below that is another double control. The outer control is the sub dial, and the inner rotating knob is the memory channel. And below that, there are three horizontal buttons. The left hand one is RIT, the middle one is Delta Transmit, and the right hand one is Clear. And below that, there's another double control for RIT and Delta Transmit. And that completes my walk around of the front panel. If we now go to the rear panel, then on the rear panel, if we go to the bottom, on the left, if we move from the left towards the right, we will come to two horizontal connectors. That's antenna 1 and antenna 2. Which are PL259 or SO239 types. If we continue going across horizontally along the bottom, then we will come to the 1200 MHz band antenna connector. If we now go up to the very top on the left-hand side and go across, we will first of all come to the power connector, which is a typical 13.8 volt DC power connector. It has four pins. The two left-hand pins vertically are both minus, and the two vertical pins on the right are plus. Moving across to the right of that, you come to another antenna connector. This is for 144 MHz. And if we go all the way across to the right-hand side at the top, we will come to the 430 MHz antenna connector, which is an N-type. Now, if we start at the left-hand side again and come down to the middle of the vertical section of the back panel and move across to the right, there's a whole horizontal row of sockets across the middle of the back panel. And the very left-hand one is Data 1 jack, which is used for low-speed data communication in DV mode. To the right of that is a Data 2 socket which connects to a TNC, a terminal node controller, for high-speed data communications. To the right of that is the straight key jack. And to the right of that is the ALC input jack. To the right of that, the send control jack. To the right of that is a multi-pin socket, which is the accessory socket. And to the right of that is the CI5 remote control jack. And it needs to use an optional CT17 CIV level converter for external control of the transceiver. And to the right of that is a USB connector, which can either be used to control the transceiver using the CIV commands or CI5 commands, or it can also be used to send received audio to the PC or decoded characters to the PC and for low-speed data communication in DV mode, as well as cloning using the optional CS9100 cloning software. Two COM port numbers are assigned. One of them is USB 1, the other is USB 2. And it's the USB 1 port which is used for CAT control. And to the right of that is the external speaker jack, and to the right of that, the subband external speaker jack. And that completes the walk around of the rear panel of the IC9100.